Tomorrow, world leaders will begin arriving in PNG, which is hosting this year's APEC Leaders Summit. One of the first to arrive will be Chinese President Xi Jinping, highlighting Beijing's growing interest in the region and the concern that's causing in Canberra and Washington. Pacific leaders will be keen to see whether Prime Minister Scott Morrison matches his rhetoric on the importance of the region with commitments on one of their biggest concerns, which is climate change. Melissa Price is the Minister for the Environment, and she joins me now. Welcome back to RN Drive.
Good afternoon.
Your colleague, Senator Concetta Fierravanti-Wells, has accused you of damaging Australia's relationship when you instructed the former president of Kiribati.
What's really important in the Pacific, and my work in this area has told me that you can be frank and forthright, but at the same time be respectful and understanding of the Pacific way.
Is she right?
Well, of course, everyone has to be respectful to all human beings, including the Pacific. But let me just say this to you, Patricia, that I have denied this alleged conversation on numerous occasions, and all my colleagues are aware of that. So I'm very disappointed that my senator colleague didn't pick up the phone and have a conversation with me, because I have denied the alleged conversation. I contacted President Tong and explained to him whatever he has been told was the conversation that, in fact, did not happen. And I have to tell you, that it's been very concerning for me. I haven't said much about it. We're busy getting on with the job of government, and I'm in a new portfolio. I have a very busy portfolio, but it's been very concerning for me. And the reason is this, is that I am not disrespectful of other countries, and the Pacific is a very good friend and neighbour to Australia. So I'm very, very disappointed in my colleague. I've been travelling around doing my job for the last 5 days, and I haven't had a chance to pick up the phone and talk to any of my colleagues, but I can assure you there'll be a few phone calls once I get off the phone from talking to you, Patricia.
So what, you plan to call Concetta Fierravanti-Wells?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. But, you know, I've been travelling in my electorate today in Derby, came back from Sydney last night.
What are you going to tell her when you call her?
Well, I'm going to be asking her about why would she say these comments in the Sydney Morning Herald. I mean, I just cannot believe that she hasn't been hearing what I've been saying, that she would actually believe that I'd be disrespectful. I mean, I'm deeply, deeply wounded by this.
You're deeply wounded, but RN Drive spoke to two other people at the table with President Tong when you spoke to him, and they confirmed you did say the things that were widely reported.
Right, well, the thing that hasn't been reported is what other people at the table said. Now, you know, I didn't want to make a meal of this because what I wanted was us to move on. And in fact, that's exactly what President Tong had said the day after the evening where this alleged conversation took place. So I've been very respectful to him. But there was only three people that spoke that night: Pat Dodson, President Tong and myself. And Pat Dodson spoke to me when I first walked up to the table. Now, as I've said all along, I don't remember exactly what the conversation was. But the words that he's attributed to me assume certain knowledge or assume certain opinions about the Pacific that I frankly don't have. Now, I don't know where I don't even know who was sitting at the table. Couldn't tell you who they were at the time. So they have. There's an assumption about a conversation. I don't know what was said, but the words that are written down assume that I've got certain knowledge or that I've got a particular disposition towards or against the Pacific, which is simply not true.
Concetta Fierravanti-Wells says you're an L-plate minister.
Well, good for her. Good for her. You know, I'm not an L-plate minister. I was the assistant minister back in December. Many, many parts of the portfolio that I have responsibility for now, I had back in December. So anyway, that's her opinion. And frankly, I'm getting on with the job of looking after the environment portfolio. That's my focus.
Okay, let's talk about that. Australia's greenhouse gas emissions are not projected to fall any further without new policies. What are your new policies?
Well, what we said back in 2017 is that we have the right suite of policies, and all of them are scalable. Now, it would be an irresponsible government to, at any point in time, say we're going to scale something up. So, for example, ARENA or CEFC or the Emissions Reduction Fund. But what we are doing is having a look at, well, what are the other policies? And people know that I've been talking about our plan to grow 1 billion trees. Now, that will have a significant impact on emissions. And I know in terms of electricity emissions, I mean, renewables itself are going to contribute 250% to our energy by 2021. Now, we know that. That's without us doing one extra thing. So, of course, you continue to look at the policies that you've got.
Of course you do, because you're not going to meet your Paris targets under the current trajectory, according to your own department.
So we know 2020 that we're going to be over by 300 million.
Your own department has warned that you're on the not on the trajectory to meet your targets. So what are you going to do? Because Liberal moderates, for instance, say that you need to look at a $1 billion injection into the Emissions Reduction Fund. Is that what you want to do?
Well, that's a matter for the Cabinet, how much more money or indeed...
Do you think $1 billion sounds about right?
Well, I don't know that that's the right figure. Maybe it's more, maybe it's less.
Are you currently modelling it? What can you tell us?
Yeah, of course, we're having a look at that. We're having a look at, and in fact, not just how much money, but in fact, what does the ERF do? What does it do in terms of looking after threatened species? For example, threatened species habitat, making sure that the ERF does more when we're talking about land degradation, and, we're getting significant emissions reductions through the ERF, predominantly from the land. We need to make sure that those particular projects are working harder for threatened species and also threatened species habitat. So I disagree that we don't have the right suite of policies. We have to continually to assess them, and that is what we are doing.
What do you make of the comments from Woodside boss Peter Coleman about the need for a carbon price to reduce emissions?
Well, I welcome Woodside, BHP, Rio, all of the big end of town. I welcome industries having a particular view on climate change and in their own backyard taking action. I think that's a really positive thing. But this government does not support a carbon tax or a carbon price. We know that a carbon price would drive up the cost of electricity for households and businesses right across the country. And, we make no...
Okay, but carbon emissions, Minister, carbon emissions are rising. Can you pinpoint the year when they'll start to fall?
Well, we already know that the electricity emissions have...
About the broader emissions. We're talking about other sectors as well.
Yeah,
when can you pinpoint a year that they're going to fall?
At this point, I cannot pinpoint. What I do know is that we have got the right suite of policies.
Well, if you can't pinpoint a year when they're going to fall...
Well, no one can
doesn't
do that.
Doesn't that demonstrate that you don't have the right policies to get
I think what you need to understand is that you don't just look at what the policies you've got. You have to look at, well, where else are we going to get our energy from? There's a lot of talk about hydrogen at the moment, for example. ARENA only the other week committed $22 million in funding to boost hydrogen research and development projects. And we know that every day there's more solar projects, more wind projects coming on board. So I doubt that anyone could actually pinpoint the day when they would reduce. But we do know that in the electricity sector, it's a very, very positive story with more and more renewables coming on board.
Will you talk about one part of what the story that you say is positive, but there are other sectors as well, and you're not on track there?
Well, in terms of the ERF, in terms of the land and in terms of land degradation and further development.
When will we have an indication then of where your policies will go to not only meet the target, which your department says you're not going to, but exceed it?
Well, as I say, you continue to review these things.
When will we know? When will we have a policy from you?
We have got policies. We've got a suite of policies.
But you talked about the $1 billion that's been discussed. When will that be determined?
Well, that's not a matter for me to discuss with you today. That's clearly a matter for the department and myself and also for Cabinet to be discussing whether that is the right approach for our climate policies. But I'm very confident that we have the right approach with policies. And what I do know is that a carbon tax is not the right policy.
Minister, thanks for your time.
Thank you.
That's Melissa Price, the Minister for Environment, and this is RN Drive.